Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. In the previous parak, we discussed the futility of idol worship and then a prophecy about the upcoming siege. Clearly, appealing to the logic of the Jewish people isn't working, nor is scaring them with visions of their punishment. They just brush it off and think it won't happen. Here, Yirmiyahu tries a different tactic, appealing to their sense of responsibility. Like the previous parak, this parak has two sections, and each relates to a different aspect of the sin of the Jewish people and to different time periods. Yirmiyahu begins the parak by reminding them of their brit, their covenant. A brit is a sacred act in which two sides promised each other that each will keep its side of the bargain in exchange for the partner also keeping its side. If Bnei Israel can understand that they have a responsibility to God because they made a brit, maybe the gravity of personal responsibility will cause them to pause and consider their ways and if it's worth continuing with their sins. Yirmiyahu says to them in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, "V'amarta aleihem, ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, arur ha'ish asher lo yishma et divrei habrit hazut." Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to say to the people, "Cursed should be the person who does not obey the laws of this covenant." Which covenant are we speaking about? So he continues, in verse 4, "Asher tziviti at avotechem v'yom hotzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, mikur habarzel, the one that I made with you when I took you out of Egypt, the place that was a melting pot, fiery melting pot, le'mor, in which I said, shim'u b'koli, listen to my voice, v'asitem otam, and you should do, k'chol asher atzavetchem, everything that I command you to do. And if you do this, if you actually continue and keep your side of the bargain, then v'hayitem li la'am, Va'anochi ehayela chem le'elokim. You will be my special nation, and I will be your God." There are actually three covenants that Yirmiyahu is referring to here. The first one that was made, asher tziviti biyom hotziotam me'eretz Yisrael mikor harbarzel, the one I took you out of Egypt, is the covenant that was given to Bnei Israel in the form of the Torah. Bnei Israel were asked, "Will you accept this Torah or not?" The way that Yirmiyahu phrases it, this brit, is in a way that explains to Bnei Israel how lacking they are in hakarat hatov, after in recognizing the good. After Hashem saved them from a pot of melting metal, which was Egypt, he asked them to enter into an intimate relationship with him, in which he would be their God and they would be his nation. He had already proven to them that he was a reliable partner. He had already saved them. And now he wanted them to be special to him. He would take care of them, bring them to the land of Israel, and they in turn would follow his laws. At the time, they said, "Yes, we will do, and we will listen." The second brit is the reiteration of this brit in a slightly different form, and that is in Sefer Devarim and in Sefer Yehoshua, where Moshe says it in Devarim and outlines what Yehoshua will do, and then Yehoshua does it. Moshe outlines what Yehoshua will do when the people cross the Jordan River into Israel. This is the brit of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. The third brit that Yirmiyahu is including here is a brit that Yehoshua himself made with the people, where when he found the Sefer Torah, he called all the people together and made a covenant with them that they will keep the word of the Torah that Yehoshua found, thereby extending the two covenants of the desert into his own time period. The people agreed to this brit as well. Hashem then turns to Yirmiyahu and asks in verse 5, "Did I not keep my side of the bargain? Am I wrong here?" Says Hashem to Yirmiyahu, "Leman hekim et hashvua asher nishbati lavotechem latet lahem eretz zvat chalav udvash kayom hazeh." Hashem says to them, "I did all this in order that I can keep the promise that I promised to them, that I can bring them into this wonderful land of flowing honey. Did I not keep that bargain?" says Hashem to Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu says, "Va'an," and I answered Hashem, "Va'omar, Amen Hashem." Yes, you did, Hashem. You kept your bargain with them. They accepted your laws, and they were your special people, and you did bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Yirmiyahu here is functioning as a witness to all three britot, all three covenants. Hashem did indeed bring them into the land that he promised them. He did keep his bargain. The words that Yirmiyahu chooses to bear witness to the brit, "Va'omar, Amen Hashem," and I said, "Yes, God, I attest to your faithfulness," paralleled the second Brit on the mountains of Hargrizim and Har Eval, where before they entered the land of Israel, Moshe tells the Jews that when they do enter, one of the first acts they will do is go to these two mountains, Hargrizim and Har Eval, and discuss the doctrine of Israel, the laws that they will have to keep in order to stay in the land. Each statement that is said, good or bad, was accepted by the people with the word Amen. We agree. Yirmiyahu is echoing this Brit to remind the people that one day they said Amen back then, back in the desert and right when they entered Eretz Israel. Yirmiyahu then faces the people and declares that they have broken the Brit. They have gone back on their words. Says Yirmiyahu to the people, Lo Shamu, Lo Hitu Etaznam, you didn't listen. You didn't turn your ear. Vilchu Ish Beshrirut Libam. Hara, everyone just followed his own bad heart. Va'avi etchem alechem et kol tivrei habrit hazot asher tziviti la'asot v'lo asu. And now there were the other terms of the covenant. When you didn't listen, there were consequences as well, and you didn't do what I commanded you. And now the consequences will come. In fact, in Dvarim, the first statement that they agreed to, that was said on Har Grizim and Har Eval, is mentioned in Dvarim 27:15. Arur ha'ish asher ya'aseh pesel u'maseicha to'avat Hashem. Cursed is the person who will make an idol, which is the abomination of God, maseh harash, made by a craftsman, v'sham v'sam basater, and this person will hide it. Anu kol ha'am v'amru amen. All of the nation answered, yes, we agree, we accept. If we would do this, we would be breaking our part of the bargain. And the bargain would mean that if you break your bargain, then you're going to be kicked out of Eretz Israel. In the time of Yoshio, this is exactly what people were doing. Not only were they making idols, but they were hiding them. The punishment that they agreed to in Dvarim is as follows. Im lo tishmor lasod kol devrei haTorah hazod. If you don't keep this Torah, haktivim b'sefer hazeh liyirah Hashem hanichbad v'hanora hazeh et Hashem lokecha. If you don't keep your brit, v'hifla Hashem et makotcha v'et makot zarecha makot gedolot v'ne'emanot v'chalayim ra'im v'ne'emanim. Your numbers will be lessened. You're going to get kicked out of Israel. You're going to have terrible tragedies happen to you and to your children. Horrible things are going to happen to you if you don't keep your brit. Yirmiyahu is telling them, now is the time that the horrible things are coming. The punishment that you're going to get is the work of your own hands. You made a brit not once, but three times. And now you either need to change and quickly keep up your side of the bargain or submit to the terms of the deal. With this type of language, Yirmiyahu is appealing to the best selves of the Jewish people, the ones who really do know right from wrong, the ones who can see groups of people standing on two mountains and can see the difference between Arur, cursed, and Baruch, blessed. Maybe reminding them of their past and even their promise to Yoshio will allow the people of Yehuda to rise up and avert the punishment before it comes to pass. The second section of the parak begins in verse 18 and deals with a really interesting time period that Yirmiyahu goes through, a terrible time, one of the times where Yirmiyahu had his life threatened. Rav Yosef Carmel contends that this episode happened after Yirmiyahu gave his famous nevuah against the false prophets in Parak Zion, chapter 7, and declared that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed just like Shiloh. King Jehoiakim was furious about Yirmiyahu's meddling in politics and challenging the false prophets, so Yirmiyahu needed a place to hide. He chose his hometown of Anatot. You can imagine the scene when he got there. He was a prodigal son who had become famous and infamous for his prophecies against idolatry and his words against the Beit HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu must have been tired and scared when he arrived, the people having already tried to lynch him in a mob, as we'll see later in the Sefer. He says to us in verse 19, Vani kekeves aluf, yuvalit voach. I was like an innocent lamb being led to slaughter. Lo yadati ki alai chashvu machshavot. I had no idea they were plotting against me, saying, Unashchita eitz belachmo, unachritenu me'eretz hachayim, ushmolo yizacher od. Let's ground up poisonous plants and put it in his food, and we'll kill him. We'll cut him off from the land of the living, and no one will ever remember his name ever again. How would this have happened, feeding him the poisonous bread? Who would have had access to him to get him to eat? Maybe it was an old friend who brought him a welcome basket, a cousin, inviting him for a meal. Either way, these are his people. They used to have a relationship with him. These are the ones who are trying to kill him. And it was only through divine intervention that Hashem told him at the last minute not to eat the poisoned bread. Yirmiyahu, in return, begs Hashem. Hashem Tzvakot Shofet Tzedek, Bochen Klayot V'Lev. Hashem, you are the true judge, he says in verse 20. You understand people's innards. You know their thoughts. Ereh Nikmatcha Mehem. I want to see you punishment. I want to see the revenge against them. Ki Elecha Giliti Et Rivi, because it is to you that I've revealed all that's in my heart. You've seen what I went through. Hashem responds, yes, to the people who tried to kill you, I will hurt them. Pasuk Kaf Bet 22. V'chein ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, hineni poked aleihem, habachorim yamutu b'cherev, bnei avnotam yamutu b'ra'av. Terrible things are going to happen to them. Their young children are going to die by the sword. Their boys, their girls will die in a famine. U'sheirit lo tiyeh lahem. They're not going to have a remnant. Kiavi ra'a al anshei Anatot. I will bring evil on the people of Anatot. And we think, oh, Hashem listened to Yirmiyahu. He's going to actually wipe out the people of Anatot for what they did to Yirmiyahu. And then there's two little words at the end of the parak that turns everything upside down. The last two words of Pasuk Kaf Gimel, verse 23, Shnat Pekudatam, at their appointed time, which the Radak explains, is the time of the Chorban, the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Why won't Hashem listen to Yirmiyahu's plea? And why does Yirmiyahu actually want Hashem to kill people? That doesn't really sound like the job of the Navi. So we have to understand Yirmiyahu first. Yirmiyahu wants people to know that the blood of the Navi is not cheap. People have already tried to kill him by this point at least twice. And Yirmiyahu wants the people to understand, you can't start up with the Navi. Hashem will defend his person in this world. Hashem will defend me. In addition, it will help people to listen to his prophecies. If you know that Hashem intercedes for Yirmiyahu, you're much more likely to listen to what he has to say. It will raise his status. Hashem has a different picture. If he punishes the people right away, then he's not anymore giving them a chance to do teshuva. If Hashem gets involved in a miraculous way, he's almost taking away the free will of the people who are watching. He doesn't want to punish the people of Anatot now. He's a Kel Erech Apayim. He's a God who's slow to anger. He's a God who gives people chance after chance after chance to do teshuvah. So he says to Yirmiyahu, yes, I will punish them. But no, I won't punish them now. I'm still going to give the people of Anatot a chance to do teshuvah. And I won't do any type of miraculous interference either, even on behalf of Yirmiyahu, because that would make it almost too easy. And what I want now from these people is real teshuvah. That's what I want the people to bring, not teshuvah that comes because of a miracle. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.